If Hulu's raising their prices by a dollar, then throw this on Hulu too for a limited time after it's had a little bit of a run in the theaters. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of get would that be for Hulu to have some of that HBO Max clout of having, you know, new release movies on for a month after it airs in the theaters? You know, you give the theater its month, 6 week window or whatever you're going to do, and you put it on the streamer for a month. Just as a holding spot, the way HBO Max does. HBO Max does that and they take it off. So they'll take it off the streamer so they have some DVD sales. And basically the DVD sales, instead of being, it's just changed the order of things. It used to go, you know, theatrical, DVD, and then they would sell it to linear for syndication and whatnot.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, traveler. Ted, you've been busy for episode 169.
Yes, sir.
Out again.
I know. Last week, it wasn't so last minute. I think Anne had it on the books a little bit, but it was.
Yeah, you talked about it a little while and
weeks
prior, and we said we were going to take a little hiatus for just 1 week and then get back to it again. So
right.
Yeah. So you guys had a good time, I assume.
We had a great time, Pebble Beach, with our friends.
Labor Day weekend.
So it was amazing. Labor Day weekend, long weekend. So went up to Pebble Beach and it was great. So the kids loved it as always. They love that area, that time, you know. And then Bryce, did you see the pictures
of the, like, the 1500 year old safe or whatever it was?
Yeah, Bryce had the best time with this old safe that was just like a puzzle box.
That's what I was saying. Like, it's cool. It's like, it's a good hiding spot for hide and seek. Just make sure you leave the key outside and not in your pocket.
Yeah, so he played with that for a lot of the time we were there. That was just cool. And then I got to drive the car that I drove away from for the rest of the day. From our wedding, I drove off in our friend's Jag, 1970 E-Type.
Is that like with the big hood?
Yeah. It's
And it's like the little bubble in the back with the big hood?
Yeah, it's like the Austin Powers kind of Jag. So we were driving around Pebble Beach in that. CB was in his newer Jag F-Type, and Bonnie was in her SL, her old SL. So we were driving around 17 Mile like a parade. We were like waving at people. People are like pointing and honking and all kinds of stuff.
It's fun. Funny.
But most of all for the weekend, we haven't seen our friends for years because of COVID, you know? So it's been a long time. They've been on the East Coast and they finally moved out here. So it's nice.
Where'd they move from?
From Maryland, from DC area.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So that was our traveling weekend. How about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, a couple things.
Oh, wait. Do we beer first? I feel like.
Oh, yeah, let's beer first.
I'm sorry. I jumped into that and I should have beered.
Yeah, no. You know what? You got me going. And I was like, yeah, let's talk about it. But then I'm just like, wait a minute. It's not.
Wait, I'm parched. This is normally where I take a sip. And
it
now
is
I
the
don't.
Jim and Ted hour. That should be the new podcast name. I don't know. But yeah, go ahead. Why don't you go first?
All right, cool. So this week I got a Telegraph Brewing Company out of Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
FYU. And it's a barley wine style ale. Rhinoceros.
Oh, look at this. Oh my goodness. I'm so jealous.
Our friends over at Valley Bev. I went there to buy some gifts for our friends in Pebble Beach, and I was like, oh, pick up some show beers.
There you
beers.
Go. It's all about the show beer.
Let's get a couple of show beers.
Nice.
And I said, you know what I'm going to do for the show beer? Because it's such a crazy selection. I'm going to go. They have one shelf that's kind of like the odd ends. And it's like all these, they only have a couple of them left in that style or in that thing, and not enough to take up a whole part of their display. So they have a spot of like two shelves where it's just like, you know, kind of older stuff. I mean, nothing's wrong with it. It's all the same price, I think. So I went there and I got a couple of show beers from that.
Nice.
Kind of so it's more random and I can get in and out without spending a couple hours.
Well, and the nice thing too, if they're a little older and stuff, I mean, who cares? You know, it's like, age, I mean, they're aged. Mm. Oh man, look at this guy go. And he just like pours it and goes for it.
Well, you know, come on. I was already late on it.
Yeah. What's the ABV on it?
10%. So just
10%er. Yeah. And yeah, that sounds like a barley wine. I love barley wines.
I know you do.
I have a 1,000 Oaked Brewers. So it's a collaboration, 10th anniversary beer pale ale, donated to me by a longtime listener and friend of the show, Paul Pasternak.
Oh, yes. Is this awesome? This is his homebrew now?
No, it's not his homebrew, but he bought a four pack of it, wanted to share one with me.
Oh, nice.
I told him I'd have it on the show. So it's 50 IBU, 5.4 ABV. You know, they give the recipe on the can. It says here the Y, and it shows like the little carboy with the airlock in there and such.
Right.
And it says this beer was brewed with input from Toked members in commemoration of 10 years of brewing education and camaraderie. So it's like a homebrew collaboration thing.
That's awesome.
So as a homebrewer myself, I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I told him, he wanted to share one. I said, dude, I'm going to have it on the show.
That's right.
So you'll have to listen to make sure that you hear my review. It's a pale ale, as I mentioned. He said it was really good, and he liked it so much that, you know, it was like time to get me one. So I was like, heck yeah.
Worthy of show beer. Show beer's next level, you know?
You know, there's beers we've had on the show. Like, if you think about A New Belgium.
I was about to say, Voodoo Ranger is too good to just
well
be.
Voodoo, but the Imperial Voodoo Ranger though.
Well, they have a dozen exactly. Voodoo Rangers. It's amazing how they parlayed that out.
But the 9% Imperial Voodoo Ranger.
Imperial, yeah.
But that's like one of my favorite beers. You know, it's like you can't have too many because it's high in ABV, but it's so malty and bitter and creamy, and it's just such a great beer.
Frank knows so well. This week we went over there for Barbara's birthday, just to have a little, you know, little cake, little celebration during the week. And he has a case of New Belgian in there, right?
Oh, nice.
In his fridge. And it's a brand new case. And he's digging through it. And he's like, I got a beer for you. And I was like, I'll take a wheat. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's just.
Just give me just whatever. Tuesday we're hanging out. Yeah.
I'll get whatever. And then he goes, he digs all the way in the back. He goes, yeah, I had one Voodoo Ranger left. And I know you don't like the light stuff.
he's a fan of the show. So yeah, this is it was brewed and canned by Institutional Ale Company in Camarillo.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is it's really good. It's fairly bitter. I mean, it's only 50 IBU, but the bitterness comes across.
Well, it's a nice palate. It's a nice clean palate to put the bitterness on. Yeah.
Oh, it's super crisp. Nugget, Mosaic, and Cryo Pop blend. I don't even know what that means.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, I love the cryo stuff. The cryo.
Well, it says cryo pop with the little trademark symbol. What the heck does that even mean?
I think it's that dry hop, that cryo, they freeze the hops.
Yeah, they probably do. It mentions something about how they dry hopped before fermentation and after fermentation.
Double dry hopped.
It's not citrusy.
Uh-huh.
It has a hint of citrus because there is some citra hop and such.
Right.
But, oh, it's so good. It's like really mellow. You could tell it's like well blended.
Right.
It has a lower ABV, but you almost could taste some of the booziness to it because the way they blended it and stuff. This is so good.
It's just crisp and clean.
Oh, extremely. I really appreciate, you know, the donation. And, you know, hey, anybody wants to donate, I mean, reach out to me or Ted. You can catch up with us through our website at trailerjunkiespodcast.com.
Yeah. That's right.
And, yeah, send us a beer, something. We'll talk about it. We'll give you a shout out on the show. And, you know, hey, what's a beer now and again? Among friends, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, you were saying, you asked me about my week.
Yes, and I just, and we got derailed with some
And we
beer.
Got derailed with parchment because it's, like, hot in your office there in your sound room.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'm still in the middle of my bathroom remodel. I get like a day or two week to work on it, but that's okay. I'm about halfway through. But the big news I think right now is the harvest of Van Kira Farms.
Oh, nice.
I've harvested a bunch of cabbage.
Okay.
So I have sauerkraut going, and I'm fermenting that in the garage. And man, that stinks to high heaven.
Really?
Oh, it's like, it's horrible how bad it smells. And
it's just, you're sure it's the cabbage, not the peppers? The peppers are all done?
No, the peppers are done. I did habaneros, although my plant, it's putting out, I got dozens of new flowers all of a sudden. This is 2 years going on this plant. This thing is amazing. But it gave me dozens and dozens and dozens of habanero peppers. I told Clarissa, we were eating a pepper one night, sweating, tears raining down our cheeks. I said, there's no way we're not going to eat all these peppers unless I sneak them into Mike's oatmeal or something. But there's no way we're going to eat all these peppers. I got to do something. So I thought I should can them.
Yeah.
And never canned anything in my life. So I did, you know, I followed some YouTube video and canned them.
Yeah.
The top sealed, did, you know, with apple cider vinegar and a number of other things. I can't wait to taste them. They're probably going to be ready here in another few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, canning, it's just an extension of beer homebrew, right?
it is a little bit. You just have to make sure that when...
Sterile environments.
Yeah, you have to make sure that when everything's done and the jar's cool, that the seal, that the can seal and the lids like pop in, I guess is the way to put it,
right.
You know, so you don't have an air
gap
in there. I'm going to be harvesting all our apples tomorrow. So we have a Fuji apple tree. There's got to be, I don't know, a couple of hundred apples on this tree. I don't know how many. Maybe more, maybe 500 apples.
Do you have all the pickers? Do you have all the accoutrement to pick trees and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's called left hand and right hand.
And ladder? And, you need a ladder?
Yeah, I need a ladder. The tree's not huge. It's more like bushy than tall. I mean, I don't know. It's probably, if I had to guess, maybe it's 12 feet tall. So it's not huge.
Okay. You need a ladder for 12 feet. Come on.
Oh, you need a ladder? Yeah. No, I'm saying though, it's not like a huge maple or something. It's 12 feet or something. So, you know, you go up halfway on a 6 foot ladder, you could reach everything.
Okay.
So we're gonna do applesauce. We're gonna do apple pies, of course, and then we'll eat some. I don't. What else you do with apples? So we're gonna do a bunch of stuff with apples.
That sounds like a lot. You know, like you could make apple crisps and dry them. You could try dehydrating them.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Those are fun.
And I don't know if I talked about this on the show last time. I don't think I did, but we were.
Oh, I think you did.
Oh, I did. About the plum.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I was gonna ask you, is it still like fruiting and all that stuff? Is it still
the plum tree?
The mysterious non I fake you out for 10 years.
And then all of a sudden there's like 1,000 plums on this thing. Yeah. So they're still ripening on the tree and stuff. There's probably, if I had to guess, there's probably like 100 left on the tree, maybe fewer.
Damn, it's a lot.
Oh dude, this tree has put out like hundreds. They're not real big.
Let me make up for the years I didn't.
Exactly. They're not real big. You know, they're these little sugar plums, but my God, it's like there's probably been 500 plums already on this thing. It's unbelievable.
It's so funny. We're house hunting at Burbank right now, and you go to all these open houses, and there's always like, I would say over 50%, probably 75% of the houses, they have a bowl of fruit in the kitchen, right?
Fresh.
And it's right next to the water, you know, the bottled water that they're trying to give you on the way out. And the realtor always says, these fruits are from trees on the property. I was like, thanks. You don't have to be so dramatic about it. You know what I mean? It's Southern California. You would kind of expect, you know, I saw the trees in the back.
Right.
I walked through. I guess you're talking to the outer towners when you talk like that, but it's so talking down to
you. Yeah, it's so condescending. Did you know oranges grow in Southern California?
That tree in the back that had the same fruit on it, that's the fruit that we're giving you.
Right, exactly. That's amazing. But yeah, you know, so that, and I mean, the Vancouver Farms is going, but the tomatoes are off the chain. We're eating tomatoes. I mean, they're coming out of our ears, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
We have 3 tomato plants. There's got to be like, we probably had like 80 tomatoes already or something. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's too bad. It's too bad my kids aren't up there because they would totally dig. Well, maybe would Timmy and Mikey, could they hold a phone like a camera and like videotape you and stuff?
Of course they can. Yeah.
Yeah. You should do like a spoof on Anchor Farms. What is the tiniest little farm or whatever?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the crazy pig and
right, yeah. I need to do that.
Have do close up of the apples being picked, plucked from the tree.
Pretty soon we'll have like chickens and stuff, and that'll even be, you know, maybe I'll have a goose and a turkey or something. Drive my neighbors crazy. Oh, my God.
Just till Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then a bit of news of the week, entertainment news.
Okay. You
know, we don't typically do entertainment news, but
nah, we're usually late to that, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure I'm late to this one too, but I got an email the other day. Hulu's raising their prices from $11.99 to $12.99.
Oh.
So, and I just saw that What We Do in the Shadows season 3 is currently out.
Right.
So I think it's like 3-4 episodes in. So we'll.
But that's Hulu.
What did I say?
Netflix.
Did I say Netflix? I meant Hulu.
Oh, Hulu's raising that. I was like, I thought Netflix was higher than that already.
So don't pay attention to our entertainment news. Did I really say Netflix?
Well,
probably a
back,
Freudian slip if I did. But Hulu. Ad-free Hulu, ad-free.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ad-free Hulu is going from $11.99 to $12.99. But, you know, Clarissa just finished The Great, and she said, you can get rid of Hulu. I don't have anything left to watch on there. I said, well, let's see if the vampires are on. And so What We Do in the Shadows. So I said, well, look, and sure enough, season 3 is out right now as we speak.
And you guys, I'm going to put a must watch next to, and this is, you know, gets into what we're watching, but hey, this is our show. We don't really have to follow any rules.
It's the Jim and Ted hour.
The Only Murders in the Building.
Only Murders in the Building?
Only Murders in the Building is a limited series on Hulu.
Is it a cop show or something? Or
kind of. It has Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez as the trio in an apartment building, an affluent apartment building that witness a murder, and they have to solve the murder. And guess what they do to solve the murder? They create a nonfiction crime podcast.
Oh, I love it.
As part of the production. And half of it is Martin Short running around. No.
What's the platform?
Yeah, Martin Short running around telling Steve Hulu.
Oh, Hulu. Yeah. That's where I saw it. Yeah.
And I said, and he's like, basically every time Steve Martin sees something or figures something out or says something, Martin Short runs up to him and he directs him. He's like, say it again, but into the mic. Emphasize this word and not that word. And he's basically their director and he's an actor, and you know, and Selena Gomez is their younger, more mysterious neighbor down on the other floor. But Anne and I started watching this the minute we finished West Wing, and it is amazing. It's a little half hours, so it's easy snackable.
Like what, 10-ish or so episodes or?
Yeah, I think there's 6.
Okay.
And we watch 2 at a time basically. And it's a nice end to the evening because you have like a little cliffhanger, you know, and you're kind of like, ooh.
And it gives a reason to spend my $12.99.
There you go.
There you go. My extra dollar.
Your extra dollar is going to 33 cents to Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez.
There you go, man. There you go.
Oh, and then all the What We Do in the Shadows guys, because everybody's talking about that now too. All my friends.
Wait, are they now discovering it, or are they just talking about season 3?
Oh yeah, they're fans, and they were just alerting me that it's back.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We haven't watched an episode yet, but yeah, you know. Well, how about we do this?
Yeah,
let's get into the Matrix Resurrection.
Okay,
aptly named because they're resurrecting it.
Uh huh.
And then we could get back to and revisit all the what we're okay. watching, because
I apologize, I went out of order, and I'm just like,
Ted. Hey,
got excited.
It's This Week with Jim and Ted.
That's right.
On trailerjunkiespodcast.com. So The Matrix Resurrection. Are you a Matrix fan?
Huge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Me too.
Huge Matrix fan.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves, man. That guy's like 56 or something.
Ageless. Look at him in that.
I know. He looks great.
He's like a scruffy Neo, but he's still Neo, you know?
Yeah. And then, you know what I think? I'm thinking this might be what ticks me over for an HBO Max subscription.
I tell ya. You know,
I mean, how do you not? I mean, you got to go for it.
Right. I was like, do I need to go to the theater for this one? Maybe not. Maybe I do. Maybe I do. Don't, you know?
And it's not even do I need to go to the theater or not. I think it might be that. OK, we've talked about this before. You live in a place where going to the theater
is easy and abundant.
Where we live, the theater's kind of a hassle and far away, you know? And
Yeah.
And we have a pretty decent home theater. You watched a few movies here before, you know, Star Wars and everything.
Oh, they're great. 70 inches, right? It's like
65.
Okay, you know, same difference.
We got the 15-inch subwoofer just destroying you as you're blowing shit up, you know? And
Right.
And I'm sure this movie will be phenomenal with the surround sound and, you know, and all that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm all about it. I mean, I think subscribing and, you know, and there's other things on HBO, getting in the Barry and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, I know if we have HBO again, Clarissa is probably going to want to watch Game of Thrones all over again. I probably would too. I mean, we're fans of the show. Maybe we'll even do like Band of Brothers and revisit some of the old stuff.
It was like the anniversary of Band of Brothers recently, and I saw it come across my Instagram feed, and I was like, oh man, Damian Lewis, he's been good for so long.
Oh, I know, that guy. We're huge Damian Lewis fans here on the show, so anybody has a problem with that, you can talk to Ted. But yeah, what do you think, though? I mean, like, they don't really get in the trailer, they don't really get into the Matrix-y-looking stuff until later in the trailer. They kind of introduce it, you know, like, he's just in the world.
I think, yeah, this is just a moose-boosh. This is a single bite, a reminder of what the Matrix was to so many of us as this seminal allegory for being part of the system or fighting against the system. And yet, you know, so many of us have now, you know, so many of us are in, you know, we watch that movie in the theaters for the first time around and you're like, yeah, you know, fuck this. We're going to do it different. We're going to be different. We're going to break out of the system, you know, that's got us plugged in as batteries, which could be corporate America easily, you know? And
I mean, fill in the blank. I mean, anything that you know, that where you feel trapped could be the Matrix. I mean,
right. And now, you know, like he's taking the pills by the, you know, by the bucketful. You know what I mean? He's just suppressing it. And it's he's all of us. You know, he knew it. He was going to be the one to save us. And he just reverted to, you know, to the life that was more convenient. You know what I mean? And I love that. I love that idea in this trailer, just over the White Rabbit, the, what is it, the Jefferson Starship?
Jefferson Airplane,
Jefferson Airplane, you know, and it just reminded you of the whole White Rabbit thing, and you're just going. It was not a Lana and Lily. It was just Lana, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and the soundtrack overlay, as you mentioned, is that kind of was the underlying music score in the trailer. I mean, I thought that played wonderful to tell you, you know, essentially musically, it's telling you what's going on and how you're just like sedating yourself to just not have to think about the reality of what it is. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to sit on my iPhone.
Feed your head, right? That's the line, right?
And I'm just going to scroll through in, you know, the infinite scroll on Instagram or any of these things and just ignore the world because everything is just like in suck mode. So, you know, and that's kind of what I was getting from it, you know? And and it seems like he realizes near the end of the trailer. I mean, I don't know if the trailer, I mean, we know this from doing trailers for how long?
Yeah.
They're not linear, you know? I mean, they kind of bring in how they bring it in. But the way the trailer plays out anyway is to say that at the end, he has enough, and he's now going to once again fight back against the Matrix.
Right.
Yeah, it looks incredible. I can't wait. I think I'm going to resubscribe to HBO when this comes out.
What do you think about them not casting Lawrence Fishburne?
You know, he makes a cameo, doesn't he? Or is that like in the beginning, I think?
Oh, I thought that was somebody else. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
No, it is. There is another guy who he does like the martial art kind of stuff.
Right, right.
But I
right.
thought there was like you know, it could have been a flashback though, maybe. Yeah, that might have been it.
Maybe it's a flashback. Yeah.
So what's, I mean, you know, looking at Keanu Reeves' IMDb page and everything, he's been in a ton of stuff like over the years. I mean, he does like two, three, four things, video games. He does tons of things, you know? So we did Bill and Ted Face the Music. I mean, are you tired of Keanu Reeves? Or he does a ton of stuff, like I said, but I mean.
Well, John Wick movies are always fun. But I don't remember them. You know what I mean? Like, I probably see more John Wick movies than in clips and places than I have seen all of them, you know, from beginning to end. But, you know, I think to me he does these genres and he's in enough of different things that if you just like him in that, you're only going to see him in that every couple of years, except for John Wick, which I guess you see almost every year.
I don't know. I guess I like Keanu Reeves. I've always liked him. He's kind of that, like, I don't know. I mean, he always had like a bad rap, like in the late 90s or like the Bill and Ted years. Like, he was just too stupid to be a good actor. But then like Speed came out.
Yeah, the Point Break. Yeah.
Point Break. Yeah. Those came out. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, this guy, he's an action hero.
He can do it all. Rom-com to action. And he knows Kung Fu, right?
And he knows Kung Fu. That's it. Yeah, I mean, we only have the one trailer tonight, so let's jump into what we're watching and stuff. I mean, I have a bunch of things, but most of it's the same old, but we have a couple of movies we watched.
So go ahead.
All right, yeah. So obviously an old one, but Up.
Okay,
you good. Know, Pixar. So it was Mike's idea.
Oh, nice.
So Mike was saying, like, hey, let's watch Up. I'm like, Up, why do you want to watch Up? You know, I don't know why. He just had this hankering for Up.
Do you think that you guys watched it because it's kind of trying to serve up Doug? The new Doug shorts are on.
Oh, so what you're saying is he's seeing Doug
and he's thinking Up
and he wanted to, like, oh, okay, maybe I'll have to ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, ask him. And if you haven't seen the Doug shorts and you guys just watched Up, the Doug shorts are kind of amazing. It's, you know, it's Mr. Fredrickson and Doug living the life after Paradise Falls.
Oh.
And it's basically just little short movies of them, like,
And how long are they? Like 10 minutes or something?
10 minutes? Okay. Yeah, 10 minutes.
I wonder if he was watching some of that, and then all of a sudden he goes, let's watch the movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this dovetails very nicely into what I was telling you before the show. They have this Marvel one-shot short film.
Okay.
All Hail the King. And All Hail the King is just this little mockumentary about the Mandarin, played by Ben Kingsley in Iron Man 3. And he's in jail after he did the spoof of being the terrorist, but he's not really a terrorist. He's just an actor.
He's an actor, right.
He still had to do time for that. But he lives the high life in jail, right? So this is basically an interview with that. And then it ends up that it's a whole Ten Rings thing because his Mandarin in the Ten Rings, which is actually the Shang-Chi movie.
Oh, yeah, Shang-Chi.
So this Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings. So this cool little short film with Sir Ben Kingsley in it acts as its own standalone piece, much like the Doug Shorts act. And it drives watchers and viewers to maybe want to watch Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
So Shang-Chi. So it's really interesting to have that play out. And then, like you said, the kids want to watch Up, but you don't know why. And maybe, you know, they don't even have to necessarily watch it. You know, all they have to do is see the banner, because the banner is all the new stuff that's coming on the air. So it's just cycling through the four new programs that are new on the service. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's probably where he saw it. I mean, but there's got to be like a metaphor I'm missing or something, which.
Okay.
You know, it's something like you can't let go of the past, so you have to carry it with you or something.
Ah.
Or, I'm such a hoarder. I got to carry my shit with me. You know, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's probably more something about the past you can't let go. And,
right.
You know, even though you're trying to move forward and life's changing, but the past is dragging you back. Or
And it's almost like it's holding on to the wrong parts of your past. Or, you know, it's everybody talks about baggage, you know, like, oh, you have a lot of baggage, you know. But if it's, and that's true in the case of the house, but kind of when he found that book of their adventures together and she had scrapbooked all of the mishaps and all of the fun moments that were not traditionally planned fun adventures, you know? So I think you need to hold on to the right things from the past and not everything from the past.
Yeah, exactly. And Shang-Chi, though, that was episode 158 where we talked about Shang-Chi.
Wow, so recently. Feels.
Yeah, I mean, it was based on how we've been going with all the time we've been taking off. Right. It's been like a year ago, I think. I don't know. But no, it was May 6th, 2021.
Okay.
The other movie we watched was Luca.
Okay. All right. Yes. Tell us about that.
Yeah. And Luca was episode 151. So that was a little while ago, too. We covered Army of the Dead and The Handmaid's Tale season 4.
Wow.
I know. It's like when you go back, you're like, oh, my God, time has gotten by.
So long ago.
But yeah, we loved Luca. It was so good. I mean, again, lots of metaphors, a great message.
Yeah.
Regardless of what people look like, where they're from, you know, why fear them? Why be afraid of people or why treat them different, right. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a lot of fun. And I think what I took away from it, though, was they used a lot of the different slang and the different light, you know, like not harsh cuss words that my grandma used to say.
Oh, okay, cool.
You know, more like kind of like, ah, damn it, you know, kind of stuff, but like in Italian, right. You know, I'm a nudge, you know, and and I, you know, just watching it, like some of the Italian I would hear, they're like, I don't, like when I hear it, I recognize it. You know, I don't speak Italian or anything, but my grandmother would say things and such. And, you know, some of this stuff I haven't heard for like a decade or more.
That's fun.
And then in the movie, they're saying it. I mean, I'm hysterically laughing, you know, and the boys are looking at me like, what is so funny? I'm just like, oh my God, nobody used to say that to me. And blah, 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 you know, whatever it was, you know. And,
yeah.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, we really enjoyed it. Good story, good message. What I like about these movies too, both Up and Luca and other Pixars and such, you know, it's, you don't want your kids to get to bed too late and so on. And they're only like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, hour 40 minutes tops. You know, like we're watching Marvel movies, 3 hours, 10 minutes go by. You know, you're like, oh my God. You know, like I got to pee 3 times in the movie. You know what I mean? It's incredible. But yeah, that's the great thing about these movies, though, is they're just so quick, you know, to get through. The story's good. The animation, obviously, the resolution and all that kind of stuff, the sound. I mean, they're really good.
And I think even though it's short, it's kind of packed in there. So we watched it twice within a week. And it was like the second time we watched it, you know, you have expectations of the scenes that you liked. And especially it's so fresh in your mind.
Right.
And but you go from one weekend for the next and you're like, oh, I was laughing during this part. You know what I mean? So I missed a little bit of this and, you know, I was doing some other thing. So maybe another watch.
Yeah. You know, we should watch it again. And what we liked, you know, as like, you know, I used to race bicycles and actually I kind of.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I kind of still do a little bit. You know, and everybody rides bikes all over the place in our family and stuff. And then, mm-hmm. like, they're riding bikes everywhere. Like, oh, this movie is amazing, you know. And so, yeah, we really enjoyed it. And then just to square it up, and then I'll hand it over.
Yeah.
You know, the usual stuff, too. I mean, I know you want to talk about Ted Lasso. We could get to that. Lego Masters.
Okay, keep that going, okay.
So, yeah, there's one episode left. The finale is this coming Tuesday. Manifest, that one, I don't even know why I'm still watching it, you know, but it is what it is.
Oh, man, there's a new one. There's a new one that I saw a commercial for on Thursday Night Football, and I thought of Manifest, but it was a new one. It was like, It definitely wasn't this, but it was like Bermuda. And it was like another one of these things where you're like,
oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Oh, I can't think of the name of it.
Do you know what it is? It's not called that. Oh, man. But you know exactly what it is. It's got the same VO guy as Manifest. It's basically the same lost, you know, clone.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's just like, what is that? It's like a four-letter word or something. It's so, anyway, but yeah, it's,
oh, it is a four-letter word. You're right about that.
It is forgettable, and I feel very bad because I, you know, if I got one of those, that would be awesome. You know, like, it's just hard to understand how that, I don't know. There's so much on streaming that it's like, do you have to, what goes to linear anymore? Like, how do they get their stuff?
I wouldn't even say what goes to linear, who goes to linear, right?
Exactly. How do you have your NBC? Is it Peacock?
NBC? No, we get we're watching Manifest on Netflix.
Oh, okay. So not first run. It's the,
exactly. And then like Lego Masters, we watch it on Fox Now, which is still streaming.
Fox Now. Perfect. Yeah.
The one thing there is you're still getting a number of ads. Mm-hmm. On Netflix, obviously, you're not. So however they do the deals right there. But yeah, you know, I mean, we were like, you're watching it and it's very much in many ways, like 24, for example, it leaves you with cliffhangers over and over and over, you know, every hour there's a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a number of people trying to solve the terrorist organization who, you know, they're so secret, they're above the NSA. Even the NSA doesn't know what they don't know. And,
right,
you know, it's just, and you're watching it, you're just kind of like, it's an eye roller, but, you know, it gets you, but it hangs you on it to where you're just like, okay, sure, I'll go another one, you know, and.
Uh-huh. You're like, oh, got the cliffhanger. La Brea,
that's what it was, yeah.
And they see the big pit and the people are hanging in the hole in the middle of Los Angeles.
Like, I think it was, I don't remember what it was, but we were watching something. Maybe it was like football or something. And we were watching something and all of a sudden this ad comes across and I'm just like, what on earth is this one? You know, like, but like you said, it's very Lost-ish, you know, it's 24-ish.
Manifest-ish.
Like, they're all the same at some point. Yeah. And the funny thing is, you watch it and they hook you, but the replayability is like zero. You never want to go back.
Ah, that's critical.
Yeah, you never want to go back to these kinds of shows.
Right.
We're like a Seinfeld. Mm. If I'm sitting in the airport and a Seinfeld pops up and my flight's delayed, dude, I'm all in. You know, like, I don't know if I'd go out of my way to watch Seinfeld these days, but like, I'm all in. 24 pops
well, it's easy.
Up, I'm going to get a coffee. You know, like, anyway,
or a beer.
Well, depending on, usually my flights are in the morning, but
okay.
But so what are you watching?
But yeah, I totally get that. And Seinfeld, by the way, is all on Netflix now. So,
oh man, we should revisit if I had time.
You could revisit that. Well, you know, I want to talk about, there's three things I've been watching besides Only Murders in the Building, which is phenomenal. Everyone should watch it. Everyone should get Hulu and watch that for sure.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, we're going to do it.
But a couple weeks ago, we went to the movie theater, went to El Cap, and we saw Free Guy.
Oh, okay.
The Ryan Reynolds. I should have gotten the numbers of these.
A number of people told me that movie's really good.
It's amazing. It's much better. So you expect Ryan Reynolds' tongue-in-cheek kind of campy, like irreverent humor, Deadpool-ish kind of stuff going on. And there is all of that. But it also has a deeper message, a heart to it, and a bit of a love story, and not exactly what you'd expect. So it is a great movie that is unexpected. And Sean Levy, is the director of this movie, and he also directed Stranger Things, and he directed a couple of other things. But him and Ryan Reynolds, I listened to an interview with Sean Levy, and they're like thick as thieves. They were introduced by Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman basically worked with both of them and said, if you ever meet Sean Levy, you guys will be, you know, quick friends and friends for life. And he was right. They did. and they both kind of fell into this sentimental space. And that's what they talk about a lot in this, you know, in this the sentimentality of the Free Guy. So it's an interesting thing. And then on top of it, because it's, you know, Ryan Reynolds and it's in the Disney super complex, he gets to play with all the Marvel stuff, all of the, you know, Star Wars stuff for this one short little sequence. And it's just beautifully played out, you know, where Ryan Reynolds just wants to make sure that he touches all the toys in the toy room. You know what I mean?
With all of what you were saying about the sentimentality of Free Guy and Ryan Reynolds and just kind of the part he plays, not being like the crass Deadpool, even though it was like crass Free Guy or something, does it strike you as your standalone typical Ryan Reynolds movie, or does he like break out of his role that you would expect to see him in?
So it's interesting. He doesn't necessarily break out of the role that you expect to see him in. He plays it straighter than he normally does.
Because like Six Underground, for example.
Yeah, that's straight action.
It's like your straight action, typical Ryan Reynolds movie where he's just like on it the whole time.
There's a vulnerability to Guy in Free Guy that is not typical of your Ryan Reynolds films. And I think it has to do with if Sean Levy and Ryan Reynolds are to be believed, then they kind of bring out this softer side of each other, you know, in the end product. So I think it's interesting to think of him playing this character with a naivete that genuineness, a lack of cynicism, and it kind of bleeds through the whole movie, this whole lack of cynicism, this whole trust of a more utopian way about things. So it's very interesting. We cover this. Now, you want to know why we had such a hard time finding where this was? This is from episode 101.
Get out of here.
We did the trailer for this in January 2020 because it was supposed to come out so long ago. It was delayed so many times due to COVID that it's only come out, you know, a couple months ago.
Wow, that's incredible. So COVID delayed this movie like over...
multiple times.
Over a year, almost a year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane. But so, I mean, I would say you would recommend it from the way you're talking. I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about it and they said the movie sounds great.
Right. And here's my thing. If Hulu's raising their prices by a dollar, then throw this on Hulu too for a limited time after it's had a little bit of a run in the theaters. You know what I mean? Like, what kind of get would that be for Hulu to have some of that HBO Max clout of having, you know, new release movies on for a month after it airs in the theaters? You know, you give the theater its month, 6 week window or whatever you're going to do, and you put it on the streamer for a month. Just as a holding spot, the way HBO Max does. HBO Max does that and they take it off. So they'll take it off the streamer so they have some DVD sales. And basically the DVD sales, instead of being, it's just changed the order of things. It used to go, you know, theatrical, DVD, and then they would sell it to linear for syndication and whatnot. Now it's theatrical, if at all. And then after a small window, it goes to the streamers. And if you're associated with the streamer, then you go to that streamer. It makes all the sense in the world to put this on. And I would even say it could go on Disney Plus. You know, it's got that much of a soft side to it that, you know, I don't know. I think it's PG. Yeah, I think it's PG. But
so there's not a lot of like the crass cussing humor sort of stuff.
There's a couple of jokes that you just, you know, that the Cars joke that go over the kids' heads, you know,
right, right.
And one that wasn't, maybe wouldn't go over everybody's head, but Mom, do not look at that sock. That is my sock. Unless you want to be in therapy the rest of your life.
Disgusting.
So that was the only joke in the whole thing that was like, all right, we're going to have to explain that one later if anybody brings that up.
Dad, why didn't he want his mom to see the socks? Just have her do the laundry, for crying out loud. I can just imagine. So what else have you been watching?
Okay, so that was a couple weeks ago. And then today we went to see Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi in the theater. So another theatrical release movie that we just like had to see and wanted to see. So we saw that. I loved it. It is
a new Marvel.
A new Marvel. Like we said, like we've said in the past, we're closing the book. It really it separates itself from your typical first phases of the Avengers. It's definitely not an Avengers.
Does it bring in any of the old Avengers?
It does. It does. It has Wong. Wong is featured a lot in it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It has Abominable. Abominable, is that the guy's name? From the Hulk movie that, you know, it's a different actor. It's not Tim Roth. But remember Tim Roth, he takes the same stuff that Hulk takes in the first movie that's Universal.
Was this the
other big green guy? The military big green guy?
Yeah, but was this the Mark Ruffalo one or was this?
No, this is the Ed Norton Jr. one.
The Edward Norton one. Okay, yeah, right.
Yeah, and Tim Roth is the bad guy.
Yeah, okay.
So it has him and Wong like fighting in this death match kind of space.
Gotcha.
Which is interesting. And then it has some just beautiful martial art scenes, beautiful imagery, epic battles with ancient, you know, spiritual, you know, like dragons and nine-tailed some so-and-sos. And it looked like characters from Pokemon. You know what I mean?
Now, watching the trailer of this, it didn't have the feel, a huge feel of a Marvel movie. Would you say it felt very Marvel-y? Marvel-y, if that it's like a verb.
So, no, I appreciate it. I understood what you meant. Yeah. So it is an extension of Marvel-y. It does not fall into the rigidity of the Avengers. So the Avengers have they've painted quite the defined box, and you know they've let Guardians of the Galaxy in, they've let other players in, Spider-Man in, but this plays completely outside of it. But it lets you know that we're in the world, you know?
Okay.
It lets you know that there was a snap and then all the people were returned.
Oh, okay. So it brings in all that kind of stuff too.
It talks to that legacy within the narrative of the story. So that's very fun and interesting. And then it just goes off on its own journey of Shang-Chi, you know, or Sean, as he changed his name to. He changed his name to Sean when he was hiding out.
Makes it easy.
Easy for you to find you, yeah. And Awkwafina is great in everything that she does. So I appreciate her as an actress and a person and a comedian and a bus driver. So we saw the bus driving in the trailer, right? The whole set piece of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like going through the San Francisco streets.
Right.
So it's a great story. And it was just fun to again be in the theater and, you know, with masks on. And there were more people in the theater this week than 2 weeks ago.
And which theater did you guys go to?
We go to the El Capitan in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. And what was it? I mean, what would you say the capacity was? More than 50%?
Today, no. So on Free Guy, it was about 15%. So it was us and a couple other families. And then today, I would say it was almost 40%. We were nowhere near half, but maybe 30%.
So you had some space and everything.
So double what we had. Yeah, double what we had last time. But this time we were like, oh, somebody sitting next to you, but there's nobody over here. Let's just move over one. And then
other
people that were sitting next to, you know, had gotten seats next to somebody else. The minute the lights went down, they just moved themselves around to space. Everybody could space out a little bit. And it was still fine. You know, we were a community separating from each other to just feel comfortable.
Yeah, very cool. All right, what's next on the list?
All right, now we talk Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
So luckily I said, I'm going to take my big TV, my 49-incher, because they couldn't give me another inch. I'm going to put it in front of my treadmill, and I'm going to watch some Ted Lasso, damn it.
Okay, so you're running, watching Ted Lasso.
That's right. And Anne's in the house texting me, turn it down. Ted Lasso's too loud in the garage.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. She thought I was playing.
How is it? What do you mean? Like, she's just tell her, close the windows, turn on the air. You won't even hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I love season two, man. You downplayed it so much that I was just so expecting to be disappointed that when I saw it, watched it, I was like, I didn't even feel lulls. I'm like, all right, some of the episodes are kind of draggy, but I don't feel like they were.
Well, I think I enjoyed season one so much that some of the episodes in season two, I was just kind of like, oh, man, this isn't nearly as good, because I really enjoyed season one. You saw the Christmas one, I'm assuming.
I've seen all of them except this week's.
Okay, then we're exactly caught up. Yeah, I mean, I think some of the episodes were lots of fun. What I like about this season is it had a transformation into team building.
Uh-huh.
So it was more like it was less about the individual coach, the individual player, the individual team owner. You know, everything the first season was like segmented and individualized, right?
They were all archetypes. They were these things, yeah.
I think it was because they were introducing everybody. Here's the star player. Here's the new coach that we're going to like set up to fail. Here's the team owner. Here, you know, whatever it is. Well, this one, we've already covered who all these people are. So with this one, it was like the team coming together as a team, which is kind of where the Christmas one came in,
mm-hmm.
which is where everybody taped the name on the jersey because Emeritus, whatever you want to call it, was like...
Right, Emirates, yeah.
Whatever it was.
Emirates was the parent company of Emirates was the burning the coast of Nigeria or something like that. Or
yeah, exactly. So the Nigerian player protested them in favor of his people, sort of a thing.
But even Jamie Tart had a chance. So this season has been about growth, and not all growth is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're set up in this way that, you know, I think to me, the three, obviously, I mean, they're the three main storylines, but the three most compelling storylines is Ted Lasso coming to terms with his anxiety disorder, right? Like he has this, what is she, a psychiatrist or a psychologist? Did you catch the minutia?
She's like a more like a therapist, I guess.
A therapist. Okay. So the therapist, to have the therapist in there is amazing. And the character they chose to craft into this therapist is just this perfect being of like openness. And like, she's like,
and she couldn't care less about soccer or anything or football, right?
No, no, it has nothing to do with soccer. It has everything to do with these people. And yet she's so clinical and separated from them. And yet she's loving and personable. And I can feel like she has that quality of like knowing all the languages. She knows all the languages of all the players.
Right, right.
How comforting that must feel. And I think even Ted Lasso goes through these stages of grief in accepting that he needs counseling. he's like angry, and then he storms off and he comes back, and then he's Led Tasso, which is the name of one of my fantasy football teams this year, by the way.
Oh, Led Tasso?
Led Tasso. Because the other football team, I turned it possessive because my name is Ted. I called it Ted's Lassos is my other team.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You're a cowboy.
so it's just Lassos. I'm not a cowboy. Come on. I'm a Washington football team fan. So I can't be a cowboy, but I can be a lasso. Lasso's kind of cool.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's true. You can't be a cowboy.
So that's the Ted Lasso arc is interesting, and it's going places, obviously. And then Nate's arc is amazing.
Oh, I love Nate. Yeah.
So Nate's arc is what I use as the analogy for my daughter, who spends too much time on Instagram because she's 15. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's spending too much time on Instagram. But I'm like, look, Nate is doing the infinite scroll, and he's hating himself when he finds, you know, 100 people that like what he's doing, and one person says something negative, and he goes in the other room and he beats up on the current towel guy, the kit man or whatever it's called, you know? And I thought it was so powerful the way they played it off screen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just have the picture of the door and they just have Nate yelling at the new guy. And I was like, Audrey, this is the social media. This is the hole you fall down into when you look to this platform for validation. And what does she say to me? I blame his parents. I blame Nate's parents.
It's funny the way you said that too, because I was going to, if you didn't say validation, that was the word out of my mouth, was you're looking to this third party platform that cares nothing about you, that knows nothing about you. They're just grooming data off of you to try and groom a profile of you to feed you all this stuff that.
And they want you scrolling. They just want you scrolling, because when you scroll by ads and you buy stuff. I buy stuff every week on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, hey, I could say I haven't, but, but no, but you're right though. I mean, it's like, it's either validating or invalidating, right? So,
right. Right.
When it validates what you're doing, you feel good about yourself. I see the things I like. I see the things I want to see. And then they feed you the one thing where someone's like an anti-masker.
Right. Ugh.
Right. Or whatever it is. Whatever that one thing that you're not about. Right. And then you're just like pissed off the rest of the day. Like it literally ruins your day.
Or you click into it and you find the supporting arguments against that with data, with studies, with numbers, and then you post it against that person and then nothing happens except you wasted a day looking up data against their point.
Exactly. I mean, and it's like, it's not even worth your time.
I drive by a church between dropping the kids off in the morning. And the church, you know, in the front, it has this billboard. It's like the Burbank Presbyterian Church. And it says, I totally changed my mind after reading your Instagram post.
Right. Exactly.
Like, wow. So cheeky, this church, you know.
Well, you know, and the funny thing about it, though. So, like, there's this thing in Lompoc. I don't even know. But I don't have a Facebook account, so I use Clarissa's to troll around, you know?
Yeah. You were so Anne.
Just don't tell anybody.
Anne does that to mine all the time. She's like, your high school friend has a birthday. I'm like, say happy birthday, please.
Oh, I don't even go there. I just look at this one thing, right? And it's like Lompoc Families for Education Reform or something. And every once in a while I go there because I want to see what, you know, what these idiots have to say. And like, I can't even go into it because it'll just drive me radically insane.
Stop thinking about it. Just get through that.
You know, because as someone who works in education, and it's like, I read like a couple of posts and like, I'm just like, that's it. I slam down the laptop cover. I go for a walk. You know, I'm like, these people, I can't believe it. You know, and it's just.
You mean the iPad cover, right? Because you have that sweet iPad.
Well, no, because like, maybe the iPad. It depends on what I'm reading it on. You know, but I'm just saying though, but it's that same thing. It's like,
yeah,
nothing. I obviously it's Clarissa's account, so I don't write anything. Mm-hmm. But even if it was my account, nothing I'm going to say is ever going to change their mind.
Right.
Zero. What I have to say is going to change their mind. And it's like, and obviously nothing, whatever they say, you know, I'm never going to be like, oh, you're right. It is a conspiracy. COVID's not real.
The hardest thing is with the children though. Because you know, Timmy and Mikey are not of age of, you know, being out there.
That's right. Yeah.
And Audrey, you know, we're worried about Audrey. That's such strong words. We're not worried about her, but we have the typical average concerns of overexposure to social media. So that's typical, you know, and we try to curb it and we try to understand it and we try to identify it with her. And that's very logical and you can follow a logical path and then she'll kind of deny it with the whole, it's his parent, Nate's parents' fault kind of thing. But then with Bryce, it's like, you know, I said, I have to watch everything you watch on YouTube. You know what I mean? Because the minute you get served up something after something else, you know, those, even though it's not autoplay, it's still loaded there for you to look at. And it's a rat, they're, oh, you know, one of those four things underneath there, watch next, is a rabbit hole of some sort down some conspiracy, because conspiracies drive the rabbit hole experience of like watching more and more and more. You know, the minute that they have you on a conspiracy, it doesn't matter what the conspiracy, whether it's a legitimate one, a real one, a fake one, as long as it has some videos that attest to it, it will capture a percentage of the audience watching it to endorse or just even watch something that's interesting. If a conspiracy is interesting, it doesn't matter how real it is. But I see Bryce in a window of time where you have to like snap him out of everything that he watches that he thinks is a conspiracy, you know? It's scary.
Well, and think about his age though, right? When me and you were at that age, all of that stuff was like the most coolest stuff to watch, right? So
yeah,
obviously YouTube didn't exist, but it was like UFO, Area 51.
Oh, remember Faces of Death?
Faces of Death was another one. But no, but I'm talking about like, what was the one with Leonard Nimoy? It was like...
Oh, Mysteries something something.
Yeah. And he would be on there and, you know, or like That's Incredible.
Right, right, right.
You know, like all those shows.
Yes.
You would be watching like, it would be like ABC.
Yeah.
Thursday night UFO conspiracy night or something, you know, and you'd go down some rabbit hole of some ridiculous flat earther conspiracy about how the CIA is trying to do whatever they're, you know, and it's all nonsense just on television, just for ratings.
Right.
But when you're like 13, you're like, this is amazing. And, you know, Bigfoot, like all the mainstream debunking stuff, right? Bigfoot, right. Loch Ness Monster. Exactly. You know, like all that stuff, right? When you're 13, you know, aliens, UFOs, saucers. I mean, you know, U.S. Air Force is flying. Next thing you know, the Bermuda Triangle hits.
Right, right.
You know, the planes go missing. What was the other one? The Philadelphia
Manhattan. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Philadelphia Experiment.
The Philadelphia Experiment, you know, like
sailors in the bulkhead because they cross time continuum. Yeah,
exactly. Right. You know, and when you're like 13, like that is like right in your wheelhouse. Like you are so there.
But we could eat it up. We could eat it up, but we could only eat it once a week.
Exactly.
We could only eat. We only got small doses of it over the course of months.
Right. Right.
Whereas, you know, you get caught in a rabbit hole and you're watching five episodes of something and it's, you know, they're 7 minutes each, but they're just each one just pounding an idea further and further into your brain. The whole idea of flat earth, I had not heard of until, I don't know, 7 years, 5 years, something like that. It had not come to my attention that anyone believed that the earth was flat.
There's a documentary on Netflix about it.
Other than 1400 years ago. Right now. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like insane.
Makes sense. But I'm sure, I think I saw something that over the past 10 years, it has grown to somewhere around the realm of 20 to 30%.
Ugh.
Can you imagine that 20 to 30% believe the earth is flat? Well, doesn't make any sense.
Can you believe people think there's microchips in a vaccine? I mean, I'm just saying. No, but that's what I'm getting at, though. So,
and this is why, and just back to the original thing, this is why Nate's exposure to this social media and the way that they're portraying this in this oversimplified way in Ted Lasso is going to be, it can be, we're only halfway through, right? If they handle it the way I hope and the way that as a parent, I hope I can point out, they'll handle it in a way that will teach us a lesson about it and give us better tools to talk to our children about it.
One can only hope. You know, one can only hope. So, I mean, yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. When I was kind of given a bad review, uh-huh. or maybe not a bad, but a lesser review of...
No, you were cautioning me to lower expectations yeah. for the season, which I said I appreciate because it helped. It did it, you know, and me watching the first season, I think you watched it closer to the second season.
Sure. Yeah.
And I had a lot of time to watch and rewatch and just like... really drink in like five separate viewings of Ted Lasso season one.
You know no, I mean, I think, you know, as a one viewing through, jumping from season one to season two then, and then a one viewing through, I think season one was a much better season.
Yes.
I like this. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just, the whole thing I was saying was just, I think season two was just not as good as season one. That's all.
Yeah. And I will say, so to your point, I think there are lulls within an episode. So no episode to me was all lull.
Right.
You know what I mean? But within an episode, there were times on the treadmill where I was running on the treadmill, watching an episode, thinking, like, what's the end game for this whole series? Like, do we have four seasons worth of material? Is this, you know, when we
I've thought that too. Yeah.
When we do this arc, and this arc just feels like it's such a big moment in Ted Lasso's life or in Nate's life. How can we sit with these characters for many more years after they've gone through this transformation without just putting them in the background and saying, like, I don't need it?
I know. Then there's free agency and there's,
yeah,
you know, like.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, maybe we do not a limited series, but maybe like 3 years, 4 years, and then we're out, just because, you know, that's the good run. Like,
tell the story you got to tell and leave.
That's the good run. Get out of there. You know, if you like the people you're working with, figure out a different way to tell another
exactly.
different story with
exactly.
them. You know?
So how'd your beer finish?
My beer is finishing. I finished this 750 ml, which is, what is that? That's a typical wine bottle, right?
Yeah.
I finished it.
Oh, you're on a new beer?
No. This is the last of it.
Oh, you're still drinking it. Okay. Yeah, my, you know, Thousand Oaked Brewers 10th yeah. anniversary. This thing was awesome. It's long gone.
Mm-hmm.
It was super smooth. It was just an all around, you know, I mean, pale ales, I tend not to brew them myself because I can get pale ales
mm-hmm.
inexpensive everywhere. 5.4, yeah, I'm not going to brew that. But for a beer, whether purchased or gifted, man, this thing was like awesome. And
awesome.
There's, you know, I would say for me to really enjoy a pale ale, it has to be an exceptional pale ale because pale ales are just too ubiquitous. They're just everywhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You could get them cheap. You know, I mean, like Sierra Nevada. I mean, you name it. There's pale ales all over the place. This one was really good, though, man. It was smooth. It had a slight bit of bitterness, a slight bit of citrus type of flavor, but not so overpowering that it was like a hazy, because I'm not a fan of hazies at all. Ultimately, it was fantastic. It was such a good beer. Thanks Paul. Yeah, we'll have to get him on the show one of these days. Thank you for all the beers over the years. That's it, man. All right, let's get out of here.
Awesome. On that note,
all right, Ted,
talk to you later. See you next week.
Wonderful. Bye now.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.